Good morning, church family. It is my honor this morning to introduce to you our guest speaker, Dr. Donald Solly. If you have looked in your bulletin, they printed his bio up there, so I don't have to go through much of that, except that he has been in education for many years, 47 in fact, and if you read that, he served in elementary schools and Andrews University, and Bangkok, Thailand, and Singapore, and president of Southern College and Southwest, and Griggs University, and all these wonderful accomplishments. But when he sent this to me and I read through it, I thought, there are a couple things he didn't mention. Number one, most of you, I'm sure, know Sheila Mae Garrow. They were classmates for several years when he was on the campus of Canadian Union College. And also for about 11 years when he was on that campus, we were not only classmates, but we were next door neighbors. And his surviving those 11 years, I think, was one of his first major accomplishments. It is my pleasure this morning to introduce to you my friend, Don.
Thank you, Margaret.
There's a whole lot of those 11 years we were next door neighbors she could have talked about, and I'm very happy she didn't. It is my privilege and honor to be here with you this morning representing something that is near and dear to my heart, having studied history in school quite a bit, and being involved in Adventist education and teaching all those years, administrating schools, I fell in love with Adventist history. And a couple years after my retirement in 2010, I was asked if I would step out of retirement part-time and take on this leadership for Adventist Heritage. I am happy to announce that after 4 years, they have found a new full-time director who's 42 years of age and has more energy and get up and go than I've got to take over the leadership of this organization. But it's really been a privilege of mine to be part of it. Having been in education for 47 years, I am not a preacher. I don't preach, I teach. So this morning, sit back and relax and take a few moments to learn something, because through this, I have a lesson I want to get across. Adventist Heritage Ministry now, it's not moving, is it? This is on. It worked last night. We were supposed to point it at that thing over there on the back, I think. Let's try it and aim it directly at that. What does he want me to do? Let's try this one. We were here last night and set this thing up, and it worked very well. There it goes. Something happened. Well, let's move on from there. I think we're working now. Adventist Heritage Ministry is not a self-supporting ministry per se, but it's part of the Ellen G. White Estate. It's owned and operated by the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and it has offices in the General Conference building in Washington, D.C., and in Battle Creek, Michigan. We like to say, as you have on the front of your little brochure, we are a past with a future. We are a past with a future. And throughout history, we find that when God's people forgot, they tended to wander. And this book is full of stories about God's people forgetting and wandering and coming back, and forgetting and wandering and coming back. So I will ask a question this morning as we start out, and I will come back to it. Is it possible that we could forget? So why do we come here on Sabbath morning? Is it because we need a place to go on Sabbath and we don't really have anything else to do? Is it because our children are in church school? Is it because they enjoy the Pathfinder Club and other activities? Do we come here because we love to hear our pastor preach? Do we come here just to meet friends and be social and enjoy the potluck? Is it to participate in the musical program? And thank you for that music this morning. That is my favorite. Is it all of the above, or part of the above, or maybe some things I haven't mentioned? Or do we come here this morning and every other Sabbath morning because we believe Jesus is coming again? My grandmother was a Seventh-day Adventist. My parents were Seventh-day Adventists. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I remember sitting through weeks of prayer, the same ones Margaret sat through, and having week of prayer speakers tell us, you will never get married. Jesus is coming. And how many years have gone by? Jesus is coming again. I believe that with all my heart, or I wouldn't be standing here this morning. We are told we have nothing to fear for the future, except we forget how God has led us in the past. And I ask you again, is it possible that we could forget? Well, a number of years ago, probably about 35, this house of Ellen White's, located in Battle Creek, Michigan, where this church started and was founded and was incorporated, Ellen and James White lived in this house. And in 1981, that house had been vacant for a number of years. The roof was collapsing and everything was falling in on it. And it was scheduled by the city of Battle Creek to be demolished. And a few Adventist laymen, volunteers, got together and said, this house cannot come down. And they raised the money, and they rebuilt it. And that began in 1981, the movement of Adventist Heritage Ministry, although there had been some heritage sites like Ellen White's home down in St. Helena, California, and the one in Australia, and some other interesting historical points of Adventism. But this began the historic Adventist village in Battle Creek. So just 150 feet behind Ellen White's house there in Battle Creek, they built the meeting house that Ellen and James and the early people there worshiped in. Another view of the meeting house. Now this is called the second meeting house because back in their time, the first meeting house caught on fire and burned down, and they rebuilt it. This is really the third meeting house because we rebuilt it since 1981. But it is an absolute replica and on the location where the meeting house was, where Ellen and James and many others met. You have in your brochure towards the back a picture where it talks about the future, and it says that Review and Herald Publishing House will be built, second from the back cover. Well, that was printed 4 years ago, so it's a reality today. A replica of the first Adventist printing house, Review and Herald Publishing Association. Just been completed, it needs landscaping, and a museum of our printing work will go inside of it. But that's the beginning of the Adventist publishing. And this church really grew and prospered in the earliest days as a result of the printed page. As you heard in the story, they traveled by horse and carriage. How far do you get in a horse and carriage? 60 miles from Battle Creek is a long trip. But Ellen White used the train and other modes of transportation and traveled quite a bit in her day. But we have the replica of the Review and Herald printing house, and it will contain a museum of the earliest printing of the Seventh-day Adventist movement. Throughout the village are a number of little houses and cottages that Ellen White's sons lived in at from times, and other prominent Adventist pioneers. But one of the interesting ones, and one of the buildings that's most important to us, is this building here, a log cabin. Now, while things were going on in Battle Creek, many things were going on in other parts. And there was a man over in Fairhaven, Massachusetts, who had been a sea captain by the name of Joseph Bates. And he became the apostle of the Seventh-day Sabbath. And he sold his sailing ships and started out as an itinerant preacher, preaching the seventh day as the Sabbath. And he heard about the little remnant that was left over after William Miller's great disappointment that had gathered in Battle Creek. And Joseph Bates made his way to Battle Creek. He didn't know anyone in town, and no one knew he was coming. And Joseph Bates went to the post office and asked for the postmaster and said to him, "Who is the most honest man in town?" And they say, "David Hewitt, who lives over in that log cabin." Bates went over, knocked on his door, and said, "I have been sent to you with a message from God." And he was invited into the log cabin, and that night, Bates studied with David Hewitt all through the night, and by early morning, convinced him of the Seventh-day Sabbath. And that's how the Sabbath doctrine got to Battle Creek, because up until that time, all the people were worshiping on Sunday. Methodists, Baptists, whoever they were not Seventh-day Adventists. But David Hewitt became the first Seventh-day Adventist in Battle Creek, and that spread from there. And Joseph Bates continued his work as an apostle of the Sabbath, traveling all over the country, even up into Quebec, Canada, preaching the Seventh-day Sabbath, and later came back to Michigan when a conference was formed. He became a minister in the Michigan Conference and was probably the driving force behind organizing the Seventh-day Adventist Church into the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, which occurred in 1863. And consequently, George Knight, our great historian, on his book, Joseph Bates, he puts a byline under the title, "The Real Founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church." Although we often give that credit to Ellen White, history tells us that if Joseph Bates hadn't pushed for organization, for which there was significant resistance, he was the one who pushed forward on the idea of incorporating the Adventist Church. Well, from Battle Creek, we will take a little trip over to Whitehall, New York, and the home of William Miller. William Miller gave us a very strong belief in the second coming of Jesus. But he himself never became a Seventh-day Adventist. He remained a Baptist. He lived in this house, and as you can see, a man who would live in that kind of a home on a significantly sized farm in 1844 was a man of means. William Miller was not poor. He lived well. And we own, the Adventist Heritage Ministry owns this property. His barns still stand. They were well built. But out behind the barn, a couple hundred yards from the house, is this important piece of outcropping of stone that we refer to as Ascension Rock. It was on this rock that William Miller and a group of people gathered on October 22, 1844. They firmly believed that Jesus was coming again. Well, that didn't happen, and that was a great disappointment. We sort of connect ourselves as Adventists to that event, and it's important to us as Adventists because it's a part of William Miller and the history that he passed on down to us. But what we don't know in many places is that there may have been as many as 500 ministers in America and Europe all preaching that Jesus was coming in October 22, 1844. And there was many groups of disappointed people. One of them associated with this and who William Miller knew was Hiram Edson, and I'll come to him in just a couple of minutes, who was about, by our modes of transportation, 3.5 hours east of William Miller over near Rochester, New York. But this is where the people gathered, and many of them gave up everything they had. They sold their farms, their clothes, their cattle. They sat there in the cool evening of October 22 with nothing. Many lost their way, but a few held on to their faith. William Miller constructed this chapel on the same property, continued to preach, was put out of the Baptist church for preaching heresy because of the 1844 disappointment. But he continued on with a group of followers. And today the people who followed William Miller, who still believe in the second coming of Jesus, are today called the Advent Christian Denomination. About 3 miles from my home in Raleigh, North Carolina, is a church, the Advent Christian Church, about 350 members, all trace their heritage of Adventism, belief in the second coming, back to this church that William Miller built. We own this church and share the ownership with the Advent Christian Denomination. They claim it and we claim it, although we bought the property that it sits on. And so they share in the expenses of keeping it up and painting it and so on. And once a year, a number of Advent Christians come to this William Miller home site and have a little camp meeting and so on and worship there and so on. Good bunch of people, but they don't believe much differently than we do, except they have never accepted the Seventh-day Sabbath. They go to church on Sunday. This is the boyhood home of William Miller. It's down the road, about a mile from the William Miller farm I just showed you. And this house was absolutely rotted off near to the foundation. A gentleman by the name of Frank DeHaan, who lives in Fredericksburg, Maryland, took a great interest in this boyhood home of William Miller. And he donated all the money and all the funds to rebuild it to this condition. And it is occupied today by the caretakers of the William Miller property. So we are happy to have it. Well, we'll go over about 3.5 hours drive by our transportation to Clifton Springs, New York. And here we have the home, the farm of Hiram Edson. And if you can read the gold print that doesn't show up too well, it says, the theological birthplace of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Hiram Edson also, out behind the barn, 1844, October 22, had a significant gathering of people who were expecting Jesus to come that day, and also suffered through the great disappointment. But Edson still hung on, and he studied and restudied those Daniel and Revelation chapters that refer to the 2300 days and so on, and came to some other conclusions. This barn was actually located about 6 miles down the road from the Hiram Edson farm, but was owned by his relatives. It was dismantled, donated, dismantled, moved to the Hiram Edson property and reconstructed. But Hiram Edson is accredited with being the birthplace of Adventist theology because it was Hiram Edson who sat down and wrote out these 5 basic doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We didn't always have 28 fundamental beliefs. We started out with much fewer. But these were the 5 basic doctrines that he wrote out, attached the scriptures to them: the Sabbath, the sanctuary, the state of the dead, and the second coming of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. Out behind the barn, there's 17 acres of woodland, and Adventist Heritage Ministry has constructed a walkway, a path back there in the woods. And there are 12 signs like this, each one portraying the 12 important prophecies that we believe in the scripture, from creation through to the second coming of Jesus. The barn is a great gathering place. There's often church services there, little weekend camp meetings, and there's been weddings in that barn. And so it's a great gathering place on weekends, and a number of people stop by in their travels across the country and visit the Hiram Edson farm. Well, I quickly want to take you to Joseph Bates. This is what the Joseph Bates home looked like when we acquired the property 11 years ago. The original house, which is inside that construction, was built in 1742. The oldest continuously occupied home in Fairhaven, Massachusetts, dating back to 1742. And it is a state historical site as well as a historical site for the Adventist Church. But we immediately began 3 years ago. I had the good fortune of being able to raise about $350,000 for this property, and we started reconstructing it, and I'll tell you a little bit what we're going to do. But the house looks different than this because this picture was taken last summer. Construction has continued on. But you see a line running here. Joseph Bates lived in everything from this line to this corner. That's all he had for a home, his family. The rest of it was added on after the years. But it's that part of the house that was built in 1742. We have kept the other rooms that were added on because we want to create a museum. Joseph Bates and his family are important to the city of Fairhaven, Massachusetts. Joseph's father was a preacher. He built an academy. Joseph himself was an important sea captain, studied his way into the Seventh-day Sabbath truth, came home from an overseas voyage. He got off the ship. He was walking across the bridge to his home, and somebody said to him, "What's the news, Captain Bates?" And he says, "The news is the seventh day is the Sabbath, and we all need to keep it." Joseph Bates sold his ship, became an itinerant preacher, and connected to the Advent people in Battle Creek, as I have explained earlier. Well, some history and some important places in our history as Adventists. But I come back to this question. Is it possible for us to forget? As I said, our Bible is full of stories of God's people who forgot. And I want to share with you a story. I want to take you back just quickly here to Ascension Rock. I want to tell you a story that recently happened here. Jim Nix, who is the head of the E.G. White Estate and tells many more stories than I can possibly remember about Adventist history, took a group of church school students, 7th and 8th graders, on a history tour, just like I have shown you this morning, visited the same sites, but ended up here Saturday night on Ascension Rock. They had worship. He told them stories of the disappointment, what people sacrificed as they began the important work of starting this Seventh-day Adventist denomination. And when he closed, he said to them, "Let's stand, join hands, and make a circle, and sing, 'Lift up the trumpet, loud let it ring, Jesus is coming again.'" And those young people stood up, and Elder Nix began the song, and the students didn't sing. And so he stopped. They said, "Elder Nix, we don't know that song." And he says, "Well, that's a song from my generation. Elder Nix isn't quite as old as me, but it's a song from my generation also." And he said, teach me one of your new songs about Jesus is coming again." And for 15 minutes, those church school students talked back and forth about this song and this song and this song, and finally said, "Elder Nix, we don't have a song about Jesus is coming again. Teach us yours." And so that night on Ascension Rock, he taught them, "Lift up the trumpet, loud let it ring, Jesus is coming again." Is it possible that we could forget? Let us stand and sing, "Lift up the trumpet, loud let it ring." You're going to help me do that, are you? That's good. Okay.
Lift up the trumpet, loud let it ring, Jesus is coming. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for a Jesus that is coming again. Help us each to be faithful in your name.